the rest of the story. Every college campus has at least one Ricky, an aggressive activist often admired by classmates and sometimes called troublemaker by school administrators. Ricky, for instance, a white student in an almost exclusively white school, hung out with only three black students, even managed to get one of them accepted into an all-white fraternity. And whenever demonstrators got carried away and started burning things and clashed with local merchants and police, it was Ricky who got everybody to chill out. That was rather a gift of his, arguing for the cause, whatever the moment's cause was, and that particular talent earned him the nickname Fireball. And then came the night of the graffiti rampage. It happened in the pre-dawn dark before a big football game with Occidental College in Los Angeles. Four students drove over to the opposing campus, painted vulgarisms on the first building they encountered, and it was the school chapel. And then the offenders returned to their own campus and defaced a sacred stone monument there. They painted Oxy on it, cleverly, they thought, to create the impression that Occidental students had started the whole thing. Administrators and faculty from both schools, to say nothing of the student bodies and school alumni, were outraged. Worst of all, the vandals' paint had deeply penetrated Occidental Chapel's fine old masonry and now was virtually indelible. As details emerged, the furor only intensified. It was learned that the graffiti writers were initially unrepentant. For example, one of them, a minister's son of all people, had been armed as he embarked on their destructive spree. And so from the mutually offended rival colleges, there issued forth a unanimous cry, the perpetrators must be punished. Expelled, at least. But in stepped Ricky. You remember Fireball? What I mean is that although he had not been among the culprits that night, he took it upon himself to defend them. The crucial meeting of school officials and student council lasted hours. Finally, Fireball stood and delivered the protest speech of his young life. In the dark, the offenders had not known it was a house of worship they were defacing, he said. And if the four were expelled, their own college would likely be banished from the regional athletic conference, he said. Well, at any rate, that speech was so stirring, and in the end so compelling, that the guilty parties, while forced to apologize and to pay for the restoration of the damaged properties, were nonetheless permitted to stay in school. And Fireball, for his liberal passion and compassion, became a hero. Quite remarkable, considering that the night of the graffiti rampage occurred in the autumn of 1931, that the Midnight Marauders ultimately spared expulsion, attended conservative Quaker-established Whittier College, and Ricky, for as long as you can remember, you pictured him as an establishment type. And in fact, he did go on to become student body president, to graduate second in his class of 109 students. But the next time you hear his name, I hope you'll recall his nickname, Fireball, the bonfire-lighting civil rights activist, bleeding-heart graffiti painter apologist, who even campaigned for organized dances on Whittier's campus, an outstanding agitator named Richard Milhouse Nixon. Richard Nixon. And now you know the rest of the story.